So we are going to turn from a conversation about the business advisory councils to our next panel discussion, which will focus on the big news that we all learned about earlier this year when Intel announced their plan to build two new leading edge chip factories in our state. Since then, Intel has pledged $100 million towards partnerships with educational institutions to build a pipeline of talent and bolster research programs in the region. We are going to have a conversation today about that, and leading this discussion will be Christy Klaus, the Senior Managing Director at Jobs Ohio. Christy, in the plenary, if you want to come to the stage.
Can you hear us? All right. I feel like I'm in like witness protection or something out here. I think there are people out there. It's really dark out there. Okay. Well, I don't know, Beth, who is supposed to speak, but you had me emotional while you were talking. And so thank you for all of that. That's great. And I love grit. I love the word grit. So I think that's what won us the Intel project and what will keep us winning deals like that. So good afternoon, everyone. Excited to be here, and hopefully you've had a great day so far. Hopefully you've gotten to meet new people, potentially reconnected with colleagues that maybe you haven't seen physically in a while. And so excited to be here with you guys and all the great work that you do on a regular basis. We will talk about Intel, but it is some of it will be in the preface of what all Ohio has been doing, the groundwork that's been laid, and the partnerships. You heard the Lieutenant Governor and others talk about collaboration, working together, companies coming to the table with these advisory councils. That's what makes Ohio great. And honestly, that's why we won many projects, including Intel. And so that's what we're gonna talk about today. But before I lay a little groundwork, because I'm sure none of you have read the paper and know what Intel's all about, but so the country and the world changed over the last several decades, which left Ohio a little bit in an uphill battle, as many of you I'm sure know, and we had to fight off perceptions like the flyover state, the Rust Belt, all those things that I don't want to hear anymore, especially in economic development trying to sell Ohio, which is our daily job at Jobs Ohio. And then 2020 hit us, and it really was the time where the world kind of just stood still and gave a lot of change and challenges to the entire world, but really was a little bit of what Ohio does on a natural basis, a little grit. We rolled up our sleeves. We leaned in as an entire state and really rallied around how to recover, how to come out of the pandemic, how to come out of the recession, and really put our best foot forward from a state perspective. As JP, our CEO, would say, a generational opportunity for Ohio to lead the country in changing the dynamics of what Ohio had been known as. And that poised us a lot for what's happening now, which across the country and across the world is a little bit of a lot of deglobalization. And that semiconductor industry example, which is the emphasis of Intel, the US quickly recognized, and Intel, that over 70% of the semiconductors are produced in Asia and across the world. And it threatens our national security, our manufacturers, and Ohio is great at manufacturing and doing things and making things, as well as our supply chain. And it affects everybody's daily life. So I'm positive, other than maybe me up here, because I refuse to bring it up here, everyone is tethered to a phone almost all the time, at least one, if not two or three devices every day, which is all semiconductor industry and chips, as well as potentially your toaster, if you had toast this morning, a toaster. I mean, it's in everything that we're touching and doing. And Even our automotive industry has been delayed because of the supply chain issues in the chip manufacturing space. Intel, the only US headquartered semiconductor company, had determined that they needed a US manufacturing facility. So in economic development, that means game on, right? And so for us to win that deal, Ohio was a long shot. We weren't really even in the mix at first. But we became on the radar, and we stepped up and we leaned in. And that included many of the partners you see here and a host of others to try to win that project. And what it takes then and all the time is planning, being prepared, and knowing your partners, and having collaboration across those partners, which is what we're going to talk about today, which is why Ohio won that project and many other projects. And Intel being the most state-of-the-art manufacturing facility and the largest economic event in the state's history. Key is on partnerships. So they're critical to win any investment, but in particular in a talent and workforce space. So there's lots of work streams to win a project like that and other projects, but the workforce and talent stream is going to be extremely important. Pathwaying, things you already heard that are going on across the state of Ohio. We just kind of need to up our game a little bit. We've had long working partnerships across systems like colleges and universities. We heard a little bit about that. We're gonna hear more about it today. Shared campuses with technical schools and colleges. And then partners like in our workforce ecosystem, the Workforce Investment Boards, the Ohio Means Jobs offices, working with other partners to reach job seekers and youth like Goodwill, Urban Leagues, United Ways, and those, and John will be able to talk a little bit about that as well. With Intel's announcement and commitment to invest, we have a platform, a rallying cry, if you will, to accelerate and unite the system together. And providing career opportunities for generations to come, and love the discussion around dream and aspire and achieve greatness. So that's what we're trying to do with all Ohioans, and it'll be a multi-pronged approach. We need to keep our eye on the game and the ball. Change is not easy, and it's not going to be comfortable necessarily. This is a big endeavor, but we need to lean in and we need to embrace it. This can and will have a ripple effect across Ohio if we plan and pull together. All of this work, including Intel, is going to take a village. And the size of that project, it will. We have to go into a winning implementation execution mode. And in workforce and talent, that means coordinating among our partners, thinking creatively, being bold, and staying focused. In our engagements thus far, what we do know is Ohio's emerging pipeline was very attractive to Intel. That's the 138,000 graduates that we have every year in degree completions. All the partners, like 60 universities, 23 colleges and universities, our career and technical centers, 5 R1 Carnegie institutions across the state. We know that they were military and veteran talent focused. We have 740,000 veterans, 6th largest population in the state, 200,000 military transition every year, 10,000 locate in Ohio. So great accolades, but how do we leverage that and pull them through the system to make sure that we have a talent pipeline for them? And then we know that there's a supply chain across Ohio. There's 140 plus suppliers in the state already that exist that we're supplying Intel in all 6 of our Jobs Ohio Network partners. So they are in, I think, like 24 or 25 of our 88 counties. And so that will continue to grow. So they exist now, they will continue to grow. The impact is statewide, there's no doubt about that. And this is not just a win for Ohio, this is a win for the Midwest and the US. And so how do we harness that? And take a second, Dr. Harrison's not here with us, but Jeff is from Columbus State. He always tries to get me to pause for a second and just reflect on this win. That's the pause, that's it, that's all I got. So we need to move swiftly and we need to start executing and implementing a plan and working together. And that includes growing and retaining more of the emerging pipeline through our educational institutions, but it's not just that. And that includes K through 12 all the way up through our post-secondary. How do you paint that vision for what is here and what the career opportunities are? But it also is about engaging individuals who currently are not participating in the workforce for whatever reason. It's gonna include some upskilling and reskilling of individuals, and it's also gonna take an attraction strategy from outside Ohio to bring them into Ohio. So with all of that as groundwork, I'll introduce our panel and we'll get into questions. All right, so we have with us John Berry, Jack Thomas, Jeff Spain, Steve Ringel, Joyce, and John Trott. All right, so this is our panel, and we're gonna go into questions. Are we ready? I think we're ready. For all of you, we're gonna do a little bit of a recap. You all represent different parts of the education and workforce pipeline. So can you talk to us about the student or the individuals that you serve and what you will be doing to help prepare them for Intel and other career opportunities? So let's start with Joyce, since she represents, to some degree, our youngest population.
Thank you, Christy. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you, Lisa, for the invite, and what a great opportunity. I am Joyce Mullaney from the Career and Technology Centers of Licking County. We are the CTPD that represents Licking County and five surrounding counties. So we serve students effectively from grades K through adult. And we've had graduates from our OTC as old as 89 in the past. So we have a broad continuum of services. K-12, we provide resources for those younger grade levels and teachers to learn about careers, just beginning to think about it. In grades 6 through 8, we have career connections programs in almost every district in Licking County, where we really dive deep on career pathways, focusing on engineering, manufacturing, IT, and health careers, so that students begin to learn at those younger grade levels what it needs to be successful in those careers of their choice. And even at those grade levels, we begin to partner. And Roger, I really appreciated your comments. I can't see anything. So Roger, wherever you are, about our small businesses, as well as our advisory committees, because some of our advisory councils, we had a really interesting program at a middle school with velvet ice cream, and really helped those. So even at those grades 6, 7, and 8, we're involving our business industry partners. Great. At the high school level, we have satellite and more traditional 2-year programs focusing on career readiness for students in over 22 fields, continually focusing on our regional workforce needs, which heavily into manufacturing and healthcare, and we continue to do so. Again, relying every one of our programs across our district continuum is very heavily involved with advisory councils, and I'll use a really immediate example. As we look into Intel, but not just Intel, all of our regional manufacturers, construction is huge. Intel is saying they'll have up to 7,000 people over the next up to 20 years as they continue to build their fabs. And so we took a hard look, and relying on our advisory committee members, have actually added some additional programming for students at the high school level for this coming school year, and then partnering with some of our associate schools, we'll continue to add some of those things as we move forward. So again, that is very much involved with our small businesses as well as our advisory committees. And then our OTC, which is the Ohio Technical Center, the post-secondary continuum of adult or of CTEC, very active in upskilling, reskilling, and work very closely as we continue that continuum with Dr. Berry at COTC and doing lots of partnerships there.
That's a great segue. John, why don't you give us a little insight scoop on what you're doing to help that pipeline?
I appreciate that. So good day, everyone. And Roger, you were right. We're shining a great spotlight on all this because I can't see a damn thing either. I will tell you that at COTC, many of you may not be familiar with who we are, so just a quick commercial for us real quickly. We are a two-year degree-granting institution. We are one of the 23 two-year colleges within the state. We are very critically connected to our partners at CTEC. We represent the spectrum of those individuals seeking credentialing at either the certificate or the associate's degree level. We have a very heavy emphasis on healthcare. That's about 65% of our students are aligned with a healthcare field currently. That's everything from nursing, sonography, radiology, surgical technology. Then the second pocket of our focus areas are public safety and public service. If you're looking to become a police officer or a fire individual, EMTs, public servant in any of those areas, along with things like early childhood education. And then finally, the most rapidly growing, which works out very, very nicely, is those focus areas on high-tech industry, information technology, engineering pathways as well. We have four full-service campus locations. We serve Licking, Knox, and Coshocton counties. All of which are very excited about this Intel growth and development, all of which have already put plans and response and action together. For those of you who think Licking County is very far into the country, I drove from our campus doorstep to here in 29 minutes today. So we're very excited about leveraging what we do well and emphasizing that engineering and IT pathway. Because as we've talked to Intel, that's what they want to see as a major funneling pipeline for those entry-level portals. And we are excited about that. We're excited about leveraging our partnerships with CTEC and our other Career Center partners, because this is the pipeline of the future.
Great, thanks, John. Jeff, as a Columbus State representative, would you like to go next?
Sure, so for those of you who don't know, Columbus State Community College, right here in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. We are right down the street. Little less time for me to get here than 29 minutes. It was about 19, but I walked, so. We are a two-year institution that's here to help our workforce grow. I have the pleasure of wearing two hats at the college. I serve as the director of the Manufacturing Extension Partnership, which is part of the Ohio MEP program that spans all across the state. I'm responsible for that small area of Central Ohio. I refer to that as the space between Cleveland and Cincinnati, Central Ohio. The college itself is responsible for a four-county region. So we have Franklin, Delaware, Madison, and Union County. And we are here to help our students as much as we possibly can. Everyone I've talked to for the last several months has asked me about Intel and how is that going to affect their workforce, that they're already challenged to get new people for. And we are explaining to people, this is one of those opportunities that the old rising tide adage. This is going to help everyone. We are bringing some focus to Ohio that is just amazing. And by the partnerships that are represented on this stage today, we do it together. You know, we all come together and we try to find ways, how can we partner, how can we work together and leverage the strengths that we have. So we're looking forward to it.
Great, thanks, Jeff. And then maybe Steve next from Ohio State University.
Sure, yeah. I'm Steve Ringel. I am representing Ohio State. We're maybe more than a 19-minute walk, but less than a 19-minute drive coming up and down here. But it is a pleasure to be here and to see everybody, or almost see everybody. And, you know, I think that what's interesting about a university like Ohio State, we are full of faculty members, undergraduate students, and graduate students, many of whom actually have gone out to be employed by companies like Intel over decades, leaving Ohio, Central Ohio, and moving to the West Coast or Arizona or wherever. This is an amazing opportunity to actually keep our homegrown talent here, which is where the pipeline and the needs are actually are. What's interesting about a university like Ohio State and why we're very excited to connect with everybody in the room, businesses and companies and everybody on stage here, is that this is the first time there's going to be a continuum like this opportunity from K through 12 all the way through, you know, every level of schooling, even up to the PhD level, in one area such as this. And Ohio State, being a research university, we are very involved in the semiconductor research and industry and the technology. So we actually have a lot of subject matter expertise we want to share. We want to share with all the colleges, the high schools, provide opportunities to see what it is that companies like Intel actually do with your eyes and your ears, and not just read about it, and I think help to inspire all of the levels of the kids and students we are educating, and doing so in a partnership, not just with Intel, there's feedback, but with all the associated supply chain that comes with a company like like Intel, which will be dozens and more kinds of companies that are not just semiconductor companies from A to Z.
Great, thanks, Steve. And maybe, for sure, maybe longer than a 19-minute drive. Jack, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Jack Thomas. I'm the 9th president of Central State University, and this is my second year as president of Central State. We are a little over an hour from here in Wilberforce, Ohio, and thank you for having us at the table. I often say that if you're not at the table, you may end up on the menu. So we're delighted that we're not on the menu. But Central State University is a historically black university. We have about 95% of our students are African Americans. Many of them are first generation college students, and many of them come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. And because many of them are first generation college students, we have to help them in terms of their financial goals, as well as making sure that they achieve their goals and meet their obligations at Central State University. And many of them may not have been exposed to the professional kinds of opportunities that may exist. And in terms of Intel, we're working on various proposals that will help us respond to the workforce need there. And we're focusing on two major goals. One has to do with curriculum development as well as student experience opportunities. In terms of higher education, we look at our Department of Manufacturing Engineering as well as Computer Science, where they're preparing our students with those high-tech skills that they would be prepared to work at places like Intel, but also those soft touch skills as well. We want to make sure that we are providing our students with a world-class education so that they can be able to compete with anybody in the world.
Great, thanks, Jack. And John, a little outside the academic space, but give a sense of how you also engage in the pipelining of talent.
I'm sure there's a joke there, Christy, about me being outside the academic space.
Not at all.
I'm going to call out, there's a number of individuals in the room that are also my colleagues that work in the public workforce system. And so we receive federal money called the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, and we run those Ohio Means Job Centers that you've heard mentioned throughout the day and certainly by our speakers today. So in every county, there's at least one of those Ohio Means Job Centers. And all those Ohio Means Job Centers in effect, I think, try to mirror what we heard from Noble Local Schools and the other star winners from the Business Advisory Council. We have business-led boards. So in order for us to receive money to run these job centers, they have to be moved through a majority business board. So we understand the challenges around building that kind of collaboration and trying to build that two-way communication between the folks who use job seekers, who seek talent, and how we invest. So very quickly, when we talk about our swim lane, where we focus, we generally focus anywhere from age 14, maybe 16, depending on our funding source, through anybody who wants to, is willing to work. So just very quickly, if I could, just talk about the things that we're experiencing. Two things. Number one, if you're sitting here and you're not in Central Ohio, if you're not Licking, if you're not in Franklin, and you're wondering how this is going to impact you, it's going to impact you in a very real and tangible way. This group here, I'm excited that this is not the first time we've been together. In fact, in the last month and a half, we've been together quite a bit. We actually went to Phoenix. We did a tour around Intel, literally in a bus, 4.5 miles, just to go around the facility. So you start to see the impact, and when you recognize that's going to be placed here, Eastern Franklin, Western Licking, you see the scale of it, and you've heard the name, the number of 7,000 construction jobs. And I know Christy and I immediately were like, could we get those pipe fitters to Intel? So we were immediately looking at the map because the construction jobs are going to be huge. The spinoff industries are going to be tens of thousands of jobs, and of course, the pipeline. So that's the first piece. This will affect you. This is in your labor market, no matter where in Ohio you live. And the other thing is, there's a labor shortage. We'll put it out there that is one of the two 800-pound gorillas in the room. One is Intel. which is a fantastic opportunity, but we're also experiencing a labor shortage. It doesn't make us unique. The entire country and indeed the entire world is experiencing that. And part of that is because folks like me didn't have big families. So we have an aging workforce and not a ton, not the same amount of youth coming through up through the system. And so I bring that up because in our Ohio Means Job Centers, we try to connect businesses with skilled labor, and the participation in the labor force is starting to dwindle as people get older and begin to retire and think about not working. And so let's remember what happened 2 or 3 years ago before the pandemic. We saw businesses recruiting and getting very serious about reaching into high school and talking about career planning, not just for Intel, but for everything, whether it's education, enlistment, employment. And I think Lieutenant Governor was right on target that our success will be measured by how we collaborate. And I think there's a lot to be learned by this group, certainly by the folks who receive awards today, but we really have to begin looking at, in a very innovative and aggressive and assertive way, how do we recruit earlier and earlier and smarter in high schools and in K through 12.
Great, thanks, John. We will ad lib, but I'll ask certain individuals questions, and then we can always chime in as a group. So maybe we'll start with Joyce and John. As you have had a strong partnership over the years, let's talk through those partnerships, opportunities that you already see existing that can help, and what can we accelerate on behalf of the students?
So we have had partnerships over the years, and we're talking over lunch about how we need to continue to grow and expand those partnerships. We, for example, are through our Ohio Technical Center, our post-secondary, five of our health programs are directly related to COTC. It's a pathway to COTC health programs. We work very closely with our fire EMT programs, and we currently do the non-credit-bearing manufacturing component. We do a lot of very skilled technical training on our campus and in various places off campus, and many of those turn into those 1+1 opportunities that we share with COTC. We also do College Credit Plus through our high school component of CTEC, and some of those credits are with COTC. We also do with Columbus State, and really look forward to expanding some of those existing partnerships.
Great.
And I would add to what Joyce was saying, and Joyce sometimes is a little too humble. She's been a very thoughtful and visionary leader in terms of trying to leverage the strengths that both their organization brings to the table and what we do as well. I can tell you that we were actually somewhat competitive in nature when we looked at workforce development. We both had a facet of individuals going out and trying to serve the needs of our various constituents, and candidly, they did it better than we did. And we recognized that and said to Joyce and her team, could we partner together where you represent the college as well from our workforce arm? And anything that's non-credit bearing, you take the lead, and we will work in partnership with you to do any credit bearing needs that any of our industry partners have. And that has worked and served us very well, and it has served our constituent groups very well. It's not duplicative, it's leveraging strength, it's building on partnerships. It's a great relationship between the two organizations. That will benefit this strength of Intel. It will help us build strong pipelines in that process. I would also say to you that they have a very strong connection with us on College Credit Plus, and we are trying to utilize the CCP systems that are built within Ohio. They're good, but they can be much better. And one of the things that we are talking to Intel about is understanding what that even is. And they don't, their current partners, they don't have this design. So how do we work with our K through 12 partners to say, let's build strategic pathways for students in engineering and IT, those STEM focus initiatives that will help every student and every community, but can definitely be a pipeline to Intel. That's what they need to see, are individuals coming out with that STEM related knowledge base and starting that entree point and associate's degree that can be built up with all of our 4-year partners as well into the baccalaureate and those graduate level work as well.
Great. partnerships being key, and I think you called out something very specific. In Ohio, we can inundate ourselves with the acronyms and the numbers all adding up, right? 1+1, 2+2, College Credit Plus, we owe up. You know, we have a whole alphabet soup of stuff going on here. But the partnerships at the end of the day, and it all sounds easy once you get through all the acronyms, right? You just work together and you pipeline students. It's a little harder in the actual execution of that and engaging students at an early age and letting them see what this could really mean. And we've all heard that, you know, for years, manufacturing being a very dull and dirty work. This is potentially our chance to kind of change that perception in these career pathways. So in the partnerships, in particular, Steve and Jeff, Columbus State, Ohio State, having strong partnerships and pathway agreements, maybe just add a little additional context with Joyce and John's comments, and what specifically will you guys be doing as institutions to kind of help try to meet these needs, change perceptions, sure. Boomerang people even that have left Ohio that graduated from Ohio State back to Ohio, Steve? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So me first?
Sure.
Go ahead. Okay.
Sure. So we, Ohio State and Columbus State are and actually COTC and others are very tightly partnered in trying to figure this all out. I mentioned in my first remarks that we have a lot of the kinds of tools and things that people in this industry do, and we need to get, and we're trying to get that exposure to the teachers, that we will be getting exposure to the teachers at community colleges and others, to get them trained to see what's going on so they can transmit to students. What we're actually currently exploring are ways to open a lot of our large facilities to students and other colleges and campuses to access these sort of things. We're discussing all kinds of curricular arrangements where we can share all these activities across the different institutions. But also, I would want to dip down even to the K-12 for a moment. We run a lot of camps, a lot of things for middle school in many different areas. And one of the things we want to do is to gain excitement at that stage to get kids to come up, whatever path they take, 2-year, 4-year, 12-year. You know, understand what it is that we're talking about. And so like Christy was saying about what is manufacturing, you know, if you go, depending on where you live, it means a different word, right? So I left my cell phone at the table there, but the cell phone doesn't exist without Intel. It doesn't exist without an entire ecosystem, and those are all manufactured. And there's skills at every level of that in design, not just engineering, but in design and ergonomics, in psychology, in management, and these sorts of things. And all of these things will connect to the thing that is the semiconductor ecosystem. I think that Columbus State and Ohio State are already very tightly coupled in how we're thinking about this. We're trying to evolve this together. I think the goal here is to make this bigger than anybody on the stage here. This is one massive opportunity, and it takes everybody to work together. And so I think each person in each institution that's represented here has a different role in that same team, and that's sort of what we're trying to sort out and work out. Before I hand it over to Jeff, a good example is Ohio State has a campus at Newark, partnered with COTC, and we're exploring with the dean of engineering there ways in which to create kind of an extension laboratory opportunities for students there that mimic what we have at Ohio State's Columbus campus, where 29 minutes is too far for students to go back and forth between, say, classes or whatnot. We also have a Bachelor's of Science in Engineering Technology program that is statewide at all of Ohio State's regional campuses that are also partnered with community colleges. And so we're currently we're adding another element to that curricular piece that focuses specifically on the skill set needed in this industry today. And so, you know, Ohio State and Columbus State are naturally partnered because we're right next door, but our intention is to actually partner broadly in a similar way.
You know, I'll continue on with that theme of partnership. I think, Charlotte, I think you were spot on with it's going to take all 88 counties. Everyone is going to have a piece of this because there's different needs that come out. We know that Intel has pledged that a number of these jobs are going to be at the technical level. Matter of fact, the majority of them will be at that technician level. Those, for the most part, are things that we're really, really good at in Ohio. We're really good at making stuff. We need to remind everyone that we're really good at making stuff and start doing it again and getting our workforce in place. how we partner to do that so that we're not duplicating efforts is important. I know I'm starting to be able to see out in the audience now, and I can kind of see my friend Laura Massey. So, you know, Laura and I have partnered before taking activities from CTEC and bringing to us where they do it better. So we want to find those places where we can start to partner and do it more. At Columbus State Community College, we've got a proven track record of using a process for starting these new things. And what we do is beginning and ending with industry. We try to determine what are the specific needs, what are the outcomes that they're looking for, and then because we're in education, we love piloting things. We love studying them and then studying them some more, and then we have a meeting or two to talk about the study. What we start with often is a non-credit offering. So we'll go through, we'll look at what does someone need, and we'll develop it in a non-credit format so that we have that little bit of nimbleness that comes with that, that little bit of flexibility. But we bring our faculty partners to the table so that we're always looking to maintain that level of rigor so that when we're ready to transition it to a credit environment, we can do that seamlessly. That's something that's going to be important as we do our work with Intel. As we've been going through and benchmarking, and you've heard some of us went out to Arizona to meet with the community college system out there to see how they were doing what they were doing, to go to Arizona State University and see how they were doing. We don't necessarily need to recreate the wheel, but we do need to be mindful that what we're doing in Ohio is different than what they've done anywhere else. So how do we make sure that we get our regional needs and the needs of our workforce to be in alignment there? And that's going to be through partnership. It's going to be through being strategic about how we operate and remembering that we're good at this and leveraging the strengths that we bring to the table.
And I would just like to say that, you know, we have to ditto to what has already been stated. We do have to work with partners. And I think looking across the country at best practices, what other institutions have done, and particularly with business and industry, a good example, I think, is what Central State is doing with Procter & Gamble and Dominion Energy and what they have done in partnering with us and working with our faculty. And I think that's the key so that we can have those students can have those high-tech skills that are necessary in order to be successful and to go on into work with business and industry and industries such as Intel.
Yep. And Jack, since you have the mic, not that we all have mics, but since you since you're already on the top in the discussion and you brought it up in your introduction, we know that part of the workforce that we're going to have to tap into are underserved populations. We're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to do a lot of outreach. That takes grit. That's going to take us reaching into those populations, the underserved populations, minority populations. Want everybody to chime in, but you start the conversation. We know from Intel's discussions, they have RISE 2030 goals. They're very focused on diversity, equity, inclusion, women in STEM, those kinds of things. So maybe just start us off, Jack, on what you think for specifically for your institution, what you've seen working, benchmarking across other states, other institutions. What is it that we're either already doing well, your institution specifically, HBCUs doing well to outreach to those first generation students, and how can we do more of that in our efforts?
I think we have to be intentional about working and recruiting in those various diverse populations, those communities. That's one thing that we're doing at Central State University, and also making sure that when those students come to the institution, they may need those special kinds of enhancement and working with them, support, academic support, mentorship, and those kinds of things. We have many graduates who are in business and industry, and we often invite them back to our institution. We want their financial contributions to the university, but we also want those other kinds of resources that they bring in terms of the skills that are necessary and showing our students those skills that are necessary in order to be successful once they go into business and industry. And again, I would say that we have about 36 partnerships, business and industry, that we have now. And what I'm most excited about has to do with how they're working with our faculty, and our faculty are open to those kinds of things, because right now, when you look across the country, students want to come to your institution and they want to make sure, and particularly parents, they want to make sure that they're able to get a job once they graduate. So by working with the faculty, with those various companies, They're giving them those skills that are necessary to be successful. Also, we have our College of Business Advisory Council, which is made up of local and national business leaders, and we have our Summer Banking Institute, which to date has engaged about 10 banks at Central State University, and over 100 internships and about 20 permanent jobs where our students have gotten over the last 5 years. So this is one of our signature programs, the Banking and Industry Institute at Central State University. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm just gonna say it anyway. Tomorrow we will be announcing a $3.6 million grant from the U.S. Department of Commerce to establish the Central State University Workforce and Business Development Center at our downtown Dayton location. And this center's goal is to focus on the following, which is to provide employment-related training, entrepreneurship skills development, and to provide education to the underserved communities in the targeted areas. And we feel that we're prepared for Intel. We welcome them to the state of Ohio, and we feel that we are prepared and we're very much willing to engage with them.
Great, thanks. And all of that is embargoed until tomorrow, so he doesn't get in trouble. Others, I know you are all working on efforts. You all have seen things work and not so well work with reaching into populations that maybe aren't, you know, accessible as well to a university or a college. So kind of someone, maybe Steve next, chime in.
So actually, OSU works with Central State and other HBCUs on a very big program with Air Force Research Labs called the Minority Leaders Research Challenge Program, MLRCP. I believe it's a $40 million program. And the whole purpose of that program is to bring in people from diverse backgrounds and communities actually for employment, ultimately, into Air Force labs. And we talk about this often recently with everything going on here. How do we make a program like that? And that's funded by the federal government and the state. How do we create a program like that that does a similar thing in this market? It's not an unreasonable thought to consider, and we're actually trying to actively imagine how do we support and develop such a thing. And so, you know, I think that it is, as Jack says, a super big deal, it's a super big opportunity, and it's an absolute prime directive that Intel has provided. I also wanted to comment something else that Jack mentioned as well, which is really important, which gets back to what I mentioned before, and that word is innovation. This is not just and only bringing in people to fill moving people from one manufacturing job to another. It is about tapping into the intellectual stimulus that our kids have when they want to do something. Presumably most of us have kids in the room. Presumably many of our kids think about startup companies, entrepreneurship, innovative activities. When you have the kind of technology that the semiconductor industry represents, it is just replete with opportunities for creative and innovative ideas and things to do. It is partly why there's been so much startup activities around IT technologies worldwide, and that is a huge untapped opportunity I think we have here with our talents and our workforce. And we could probably do maturely and better than our friends on the West Coast because we actually make real things that we can hold, okay? And so I think, it's probably shouldn't even say that, but that is sort of something we think about at Ohio State all the time. And I think it just fits in with, I think, what we all want to do. You know, I have 13-year-old girls, and I would like them to hang around. I doubt they're going to want to do what I do, which is an electrical engineer, but you never know. But they might be interested in doing things that are just so interesting because they love their TikTok right now, that there's a technology they want to play with in the future that gets funded from the VC group that gets recruited here because of this ecosystem that is actually happening in front of us. So that's what I think about. And that goes up and down, you know, from K through 12 all the way to PhD.
And if I could add, we were talking about this just yesterday. It's not so much recruiting to your institution. It's helping students start learning at those very early ages, learning and understanding what their interests might be. And I know several of the advisory committees that were recognized up here talked about some of this project-based learning. So getting those students involved, yep, in real world projects, getting them thinking and involved with their hands at those earlier ages, and really helping them understand what a pathway, career pathway is. And I, again, I think at CTEC, and I know that there are other career centers represented here, we do that, we do it well. It's not about recruiting to the institution. It's helping, it's about helping those students understand what it takes to get to where they want to be. And the better that we do with those younger students, that they can begin to identify, yes, I want to go, I want to be a physician, I want to be an electrical engineer, or perhaps equally as important, I want to be a welder and pipe fitter. And here's how you get to those jobs and those positions.
And John, in particular, you know, with student focused, and yet there are adult outreach programs and things that I know you guys have been working on and interconnecting with these partners. You have a focus as well on impacted individuals, underserved individuals, trying to break barriers down that may exist for a certain population. So feel free to give us the perspective of from your seat.
I appreciate that. I know Jack talked about barriers, and he also talked about best practices. And I think I'm absolutely not an expert on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. I want to be. And I know that many of the businesses that are on my board that we're interacting with want to be experts. I think certainly the labor shortage has made everybody more sensitive to that. In discussions that we've had with people, we tell businesses to be flexible in order to retain their current workforce and to recruit those hidden sources of labor. You have to be more flexible. And I know often in the manufacturing world, that's a 1 in 5 jobs in my area is a manufacturing job. I generally get a laugh saying it's manufacturing, we can't be flexible. And I think there are things that are very inflexible about that work environment, that input-output environment. Having said that, the way we engage people, understanding that sometimes opportunities are shared, that we have goals or visions for individuals, but there are barriers that have to be removed before we can engage those folks. And so those are things just like childcare, transportation, access to employment resources. Those, I want to throw those out to you as you work in your advisory councils. The Ohio Means Job Centers has resources and funds to assist with those very practical barriers. I think about childcare as being a very huge one that we have to get through together. But those are pieces, and I would share with you that we need to do better at sharing those best practices. So if we find something that works, we really need to share it. I'm really interested in these 4-star winners and what they've learned, what we can learn from them. I know that we're doing everything we can. We're working with the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia to do capacity training for a number of our communities. It's all very specific to the community, and we've engaged with a bunch of other workforce areas across the country, so maybe we can gather some of those best practices as well.
That's great. John, from your perspective.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I would tell you one of the pieces that I've also had some discussion with Intel, the racial and ethnic diversity in that spectrum and all of what we're doing is very valuable, very important. We're all doing measures of that. But we also talked to them about expanding their notion of cultural diversity to include the Appalachian region, because that is a significant population that we serve as well. We have a very geographically diverse spectrum. I have new American populations in Pataskla on the southwest side of Licking and the east side of Franklin County. These are new American populations, and they're very interested and eager to learn more about this process, and a return on their investment is very particular to them. I want to make sure that what I'm doing is going to have a fruitful relationship to me and my families for generations to come. It's very similar to an Appalachian culture, but Appalachians oftentimes they need to understand that they have access to this. We just need to drill down into the training and development at the early education levels, helping them achieve some things that right now, I had a conversation with a group with their superintendent, and they said, look, I could run a STEM summer camp right now and have 5 students. I could run a baseball camp and have 250. And so I need to be able to share with our parents, our teachers, why it's so important to stream these other options in these STEM fields to ensure that our generational needs are met as well.
Christy, can I just add, I hear all of these lofty things, but I guess the for me is, how do we get particularly this diverse population, minorities to the table? That's the issue, I think, at hand. How do they get there? You know, I always go back and look at Central State University is one of the most affordable institutions in the nation. And I recently started a free tuition scholarship for local in the Dayton region. And I want to do that across the state. Even with that, in doing that, being the most affordable and giving free tuition, some people still will not be at the table. And when we talk about these diverse minority communities, and I would say that is the key. How do we help students? How do we help people to get to the table and provide the finances that are needed? And I think that has a lot to do with this when we talk about the barriers that are there. Many people can't even afford it. And then they may not even know about the opportunities. How do we educate the minority communities as well?
Those are great questions, and I know that we've been asking them, and we need to talk deeper about them, I think, too, and think about how do we make those pathways. Maybe the step isn't all the way to a four-year degree. Does that feel too much for an individual? Is it showing them the partnerships and how they can take a course and then a couple courses and then get to that four-year degree? I think there's a lot of work we have to do collaboratively, but I do think that there's those conversations are heightened, right? They were happening a little before, but they have definitely accelerated, I think, across the state and with, you know, this crew and others that are going to be having to work through those kinds of things for not just Intel, but for every employer across Ohio. So more meetings for you, Jack. We'll have more and more conversations.
Love to I'm delighted to have those meetings.
Great. All right. We'll wrap up. I know we only have a little bit of time, so maybe some closing remarks. Each of you have about a minute to kind of just summarize, give confidence, hope to the team out here and how they can engage. So we'll start down at the end, maybe with John.
Thank you, Christy. I talked to a couple business folks on my board, told them I was coming here. Did they have any advice? I know at least one of those businesses is very active in their community, working with schools across two or three different counties. And I said, what comments or insights or advice do you have? Practical advice, it's gotta be practical. And I think one of the takeaways from that discussion was that we say communication with business, as if business was one entity, maybe even one person who could share an opinion. And that's not the case. Business is a bunch of different people, a bunch of different industries and companies. And if there's something that we could do to make those conversations more productive and smarter and sharper, we'd like to do those. I think, I know Sarah Tracy's here from the Manufacturing Association. We love working with OMA because they've taken these conversations with all their members and tried to put together practical career pathways and practical recruitment and practical strategies reaching out to all the folks up here. And so if there's one piece of advice, it's getting into an industry sector in your region or to work associations with industries that are important to your community. And then last big piece is I think the ones that I think are most successful always have some fire starter that works with them, whether that's a local elected official who cares or wants a county commissioner wants to break down barriers. That is the other key that I would throw into that.
Great, thanks. Joyce?
So as I've thought about this and our trip to Chandler to meet with some Intel folks, and they said a couple of things. They want to lean in and learn what it is that we are doing in Ohio. So I think taking the opportunity to share all of the wonderful things. The other thing that came up frequently is there's lots of room at the table. John and I were talking earlier before this meeting, and I think it's not there's room at the table. It's everyone needs to be at the table, and we have to work cooperatively. I'm not going to do what Ohio State does. That is not my desire as a career center. But we have to work together with all of our entities to make sure that all of our students are prepared for all of the positions, not just Intel, but our existing manufacturing, our existing employers that we've served for years and years and years. I don't want to forget those folks while we continue to prepare the others for what will be a very booming economy here in Central Ohio.
Yep, Steve?
Sure, so I couldn't agree more. I think it's about partnerships, and I think that Ohio State has a pretty unique role because we actually have historically a lot of faculty that have worked with Intel and its entire supply chain of companies, and that knowledge shouldn't just sit there. That needs to get disseminated back down into revamping our curriculum, lowering barriers to make it easier for people to get into this field, and we're actually currently working on that right now. And that, I think, information then goes down into high school level where people, counselors, can say, hey, you know, no, you don't have to be a chemist to work in this industry. Mm-hmm. You can be something else. And that information, I think, is generally unknown until, and it's our responsibility, I believe, to kind of get that into that flow so that you can, for example, take that information to the folks that you serve and kind of, you know, help them pull all that back up. It's about exposure, about awareness, and it has to be persistent exposure and awareness. You know, you can't just have like a traveling road show and stop in two or three spots a year in the state and call it a day. It's going to have to be something much more distributed, and not just by one or two groups, by a number of groups. And I think that, you know, our state's industry will all benefit from this, and there's a lot more industry coming to the state. And I think that it's really an awareness and exposure challenge that, frankly, I think Ohio State has that responsibility because we have a lot of that decades worth of knowledge of the field to really share it and distribute it.
Thank you, Steve. Speaking of partnership, all right, Jeff.
Yeah, I think awareness is going to be a big, big factor for us, letting people know what's out there. You know, Christy mentioned earlier the perception that people have of manufacturing, dark, dirty, dangerous, diminishing. Those D's are all gone. That is not what the industry looks like today. And while we're talking about Intel right now, let's remember we've got a very strong bioscience industry that's popping up in Ohio also, from our pharmas to our gene therapy companies. There's some amazing stuff going on. If you don't know what happens in those organizations, to Steve's point, you don't know. So showing people, getting them in there. I'll share a best practice we had at Columbus State. We did an event pre-pandemic. We called it It was Modern Manufacturing Mondays with Mom. And the idea behind it, Dad was invited. It's just, we really wanted to talk to Mom. What we thought was, if Mom doesn't know what happens in manufacturing, Mom doesn't know. If she spends her day as a thoracic surgeon and never leaves that surgical suite, she might not know what happens in a world-class manufacturing facility. So we brought some of our local partners to the table, the Hondas, the Abbott Labs, the Worthington Industries, the American Regents, and we said, can we bring Mom and her kids in to see what's happening? We need to do that with Intel, with the Intel supply chain. Show people what happens out there. Show them how to get together. And then we need to be flexible and nimble and get them through the door and into the workforce pipeline.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Jack?
I'll just reiterate what Joyce said. There is a lot of room at the table. We just have to decide and come up with ways of getting those individuals to the table. At Central State University, we do have that diverse population of talent, and we are excited about the proposals that we are putting forth from Central State, and I know we are partnering with Ohio State as well. So we're looking forward to what comes next in working with Intel.
Thank you, Jack. John?
Yeah, I would share with you a quote that a good colleague of mine, Cal Roebuck, used to say to everyone on our campus. No matter the question, education is the answer. And I really appreciate that. And I think in this situation, there's no more prophetic edge than that. That the work that you all do as educators is paramount into making this happen. The opportunity has been presented to us. We have a sacred trust to actually meet that, to actually rise up and meet that challenge. And it is not individualistic. It has to be a synergy between workforce, industry, and educators. This is our golden opportunity to really move Ohio into a very strategic, positive direction.
Thank you, panelists. All right, so hopefully you found the information valuable. We are spending a ton of time, as we have indicated together. There's a lot more to do. We've all got to lean in, and we want to make sure that we're also having a ripple effect across the state of Ohio, and not just for Intel, but also for other manufacturing and other companies, as we cut the edge and really change the dynamics of where Ohio and the Midwest and the United States are going. This is our time, and we're excited to embrace it. And so thank you for your time today. Obviously, any of the panelists can answer any questions, but Lisa, Ohio Excels, OBRT, thank you for having us today. And thank you all as educators, especially in the K-12 system, for everything you are doing and touching our young students and trying to keep them here in Ohio. So thank you.